All right, and a little, just a few minutes ago, we were listening to President Obama. He was talking about new gun control proposals that are going to be coming out later this week when Joe Biden meets with him and puts his proposals forward. Also, we've been hearing about some proposals on our books. Representative David Linsky is filing a bill to strengthen the state gun laws. All of this, of course, in the wake of the Sandy Hook school shootings, and today is the one-month anniversary of that. I'm joined now on the telephone by Representative David Linsky. Welcome, David.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Great. So what are a couple of things? Your proposal has been kind of in the works, and we've been getting little dribs and drabs of it, but what are some of the specifics that you're proposing?
Sure. Massachusetts has relatively strong gun control laws as compared to other states, but there are a number of loopholes. And the reality is that large capacity weapons are readily available in Massachusetts. We have an assault weapons ban, but the way that that is written in Massachusetts, it doesn't cover weapons that most people would ordinarily think are assault weapons. They're called large capacity firearms under our law. And I will be filing legislation to require that those large capacity weapons, if they're privately owned, to be safely stored at the gun club or the target range where they're intended to be used. That's one aspect of it.
But, I mean, let's face it, most people don't have large capacity guns to go play with them at the shooting range. They want them in their houses to protect themselves.
Well, actually, that's wrong. Large capacity weapons are actually, or at least large capacity rifles, aren't very well used for self-defense. They're not. That's not that type of weapon. These are the weapons, like the one that was used at the Newtown shooting, that can't be concealed, obviously, because they're so big and bulky, and they're difficult to handle. You have to really be set up to shoot and fire them. And the only legitimate use of them, because they can't be used for hunting, the only legitimate use is for target shooting. And you certainly can't target shoot at your house. So let's bring them to the place where you actually can do target shooting.
Don't you think the gun owners would push back on that?
I'm expecting pushback on everything I'm going to file, quite frankly. But I know that the American people agree with me. And that's much more important than a small minority of gun owners who push back on anything.
Okay, so off-site storage, that's one of these high-capacity guns. What else?
We'll also be tightening up the licensing standards. In Massachusetts right now, police chiefs have a very limited amount of discretion in issuing a license to carry a firearm, but they have no discretion whatsoever under the law on whether or not to issue a license for a rifle or for a shotgun. They need to have some discretion on that, quite frankly. In addition to that, we need to give them a little more discretion in denying a person's application. Particularly, they should be able to consider a person's mental health history, a person's physical ability to handle the gun, their mental acuity, and their experience and training. And I intend to give the licensing authority more discretion on whether or not to issue or deny a permit.
That also can be a slippery slope because, I mean, once you start questioning mental capacity, then maybe you have to start considering physical capacity as well. I mean, maybe if you've had some serious illness, you're not able to, you know, use the weapon the way you want. I mean, you can get into all kinds of,
Well, I think that the very basic test should be the same way that we have a test to see whether or not you can drive a car is whether or not, quite frankly, you can handle a firearm. For example, right now in the gun safety course, and this is something else I want to change, you're not actually required to handle a firearm or shoot a firearm before you get your license. I think that you should be able to do that because, as we know, a firearm is a very dangerous thing to have, much like an automobile, if not more dangerous, and you should be able to show that you can physically handle it.
You can, as you know, renew your license over the internet now, I mean, with no proof of your, if you've been incapacitated, if something serious has gone wrong, if you've lost your eyesight, you can just get your, they ask you a few questions, but there's no reason why you have to be totally truthful about it.
I'm not going to get into a driver's license right now, but I think that we should have some standards on whether or not you can safely handle a gun before you're given a gun license.
But then what do you do about the fact that once they've got it?
You have to renew in Massachusetts every 6 years.
Six
so
years.
That the police chief or licensing authority has the right to review your application and has to meet with you in person. So that is actually that's taken care of in the law.
Talking to Representative David Linsky, who's filing a bill within the next couple of days to strengthen the state's gun control laws. You're also proposing some kind of gun insurance. How would that work?
That's right. Obviously, it's the law before you could register a car in Massachusetts that you have to show proof of insurance. I'm proposing that we have the same requirement for guns. There are two reasons for that. One, if you're injured as a result of somebody's negligence in storing the gun or the way that they're handling the gun, you should have some legal recourse on that. That's one reason. But more importantly, this would get the insurance companies involved in ensuring that the way that people store their guns is safe, the type of guns that they choose to have in their homes, that's safe. And the marketplace can play an important role in this. The marketplace played a role in giving us safer cars and safer pieces of equipment around the house. They can do the same thing through the marketplace in giving us safer guns.
How do you deal with the issue that, I don't know how many of the 58 murders in Boston last year, the preponderance of them were by gun, but I'm willing to bet all of them were illegal weapons. They weren't weapons that had been registered.
No, not all of them, quite frankly. Some of them were illegal weapons, so don't.
Not the vast majority. Not the vast majority.
Yeah. The reality is,
how do you get at that, though?
Yeah, people are injured every day by legal weapons. They are weapons that are stored in people's houses, and it can be a suicide, it could be an accidental shooting, or it could be a murder, and it could be a something that happens very quickly. Now, can we solve all of our problems, all of our gun violence by laws? Of course not. I wouldn't say that. But we have to take every reasonable step that we possibly can to cut down on the tragedies that happen every single day. And I guarantee you they'll be happening today. And we need to make sure that only people who can safely handle a weapon have access to a weapon. And quite frankly, we can cut down on a lot of tragedies by the way that we give access to weapons, and particularly high-capacity weapons.
Talking to Representative David Linsky, well, as you know, the weapons that were involved in this Newtown shooting were legal. They were registered to the shooter's mother. How would any of your proposals affect a situation like that?
Well, the reality is that weapon that was used in Newtown, Connecticut, was a legal weapon in Massachusetts. That was a Bushmaster high-capacity rifle that is legal in Massachusetts. So don't think that those type of weapons we've already covered under Massachusetts laws, because we haven't. That weapon didn't have to be stored under the laws in Connecticut. We have storage laws presently in Massachusetts, but unfortunately they are completely unenforceable. That type of weapon, if it were owned in Massachusetts, would have to be safely stored away at a target range or a gun club, so that could not have happened under the proposal that I'm putting forth now. Quite frankly, there is no legitimate use for that type of weapon in a person's house. You can say it's a legitimate use to fire that type of weapon at a shooting range. I understand that people like to do that for sport or for competition. I get that. But apart from the target range, there's no reason that you should be owning that weapon and keeping it in your house.
I hear you. What do you think should happen on a national level, David?
I am hopeful that the first thing that we're going to do nationally is close this gun show check loophole, because quite frankly, we have a federal law that says you're supposed to do a check on the sale of every gun, but it doesn't apply to gun shows and it doesn't apply to private sales. That's ridiculous, quite frankly. That's a gigantic loophole, and it's about 40% of the gun sales in the United States. Secondly, we need to start banning on a federal level what are called assault weapons, but quite frankly, we need to look at weapons that are large capacity weapons and large capacity magazines, and the types of ammunition that are frequently used in it, and whether or not they should be available for sale nationally. I say the stuff shouldn't be available for.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the manufacturers. So, I mean, should we be going after them? Why are we making these?
Well, they're making them because there's a market for them. The market was originally for the military, and then these are really civilian knockoffs of military weapons. People want to buy them for some reason. And quite frankly, in this country, you can't buy a nuclear weapon, you can't buy a bazooka, you can't buy a hand grenade, and I think we have to draw the line somewhere. And in my mind, we draw the line at these assault weapons or high-capacity weapons.
Are you expecting your bill to pass the legislature?
I am certainly expecting that the Massachusetts House will pass a comprehensive gun safety and gun violence prevention bill. I'm not sure whether or not all of my proposals will get through, but I'm going to work darn hard to make sure they do.
Okay. State Rep. David Linsky, thanks for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you very much.
And Edgar B. Herwick III is back. We already talked a little football here.
I heard. Well, you can't escape it on the day after a game like that, right? So you watched, I assume?
Oh, I watched the whole thing. Yeah, it was very exciting.
What do you think?
I watched the Baltimore game on Saturday night, too.
Did you really?
That was even better.
You know what? Last weekend, the football was terrible. This weekend made up for it. Almost every game was excellent.
Awesome.
So it was really good. So we're going to go over that and some other sports stuff. I know you're a tennis fan. We're going to be talking a little tennis,
too.
Start of the
Australian Open.
Well, that's a pretty good Australian accent. From Emily Rooney, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. And this is Boston Public Radio.